Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Nation, there you go. Check out our Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports, and check out the latest going on here at the 110 Nation at www.110nationsports.com. 2020. Lord have mercy. Granted, it's the end of January, and we're finally making our debut, especially it being the 110 Nation Sports Show this late, making a debut in 2020, much later than I had anticipated and much later than I was hoping for into the month. But we are back. I'm looking forward to a great year in 2020. Looking forward to getting back into the swing of things. Getting back to really honestly the basics and looking forward to growing the 110 Nation, making it a household name. Like once upon a time, we were on the verge of doing. It's been an interesting and long journey here, the 110 Nation, and just looking forward to turning things back around and looking forward to hopefully growing this year. That is definitely one of the plans, and hopefully we'll be able to do that here in 2020. Got Izzo joining the studio at 9:30, so looking forward to having Izzo back and being part of the 110 Nation. For those that are new to the show, Izzo is our NHL expert. And where most of us here at the 110 Nation know NASCAR, like the back of our hands, Izzo knows the NHL just as well, times that about 10. So we're looking forward to having him back for 2020. I want to thank Carolina Sports Plus. Glad to still have them on board and a part of the 110 Nation. Also got to thank Fit for Life. Thank Fit for Life for also still being part of the 110 Nation. Without these great marketing partners, we couldn't continue to do what we're doing. We're growing the way we want to grow in 2020. So looking forward to that. There's been some issues with the website, and so that is something that I will be spending some time over the next week or so figuring out and getting back on track. Do apologize for the late start in 2020. The original plan was to just be off for the Christmas break as I made the transition. For those that have not kept up or knew the 110 Nation, I spent the last 20-something years in North Carolina, and after getting out of the military, stayed in North Carolina. And back in April, I actually, the very end of April, had reconnected with my first ever, and was coming home to the great state of Ohio once a month, every month, until we decided it was time for me to move back home. And so made the trip back home in October, and had stayed with the same company. Had spent a few weeks training at one store, learning the ways, the Ohio ways, and the new systems and everything else, and the laws that are different in Ohio. And then a couple more weeks at another store, two or three weeks, before getting an opportunity to be at the store I'm at now. Day one in the store, a little got in a very bad and serious car wreck. Woke up 6 hours later in the hospital. And so by the time frame we were going on our Christmas break here at the 110 Nation, that happened. And had all intentions after the new year, coming back full force and doing things. Well, running a store that does more than twice the volume that I ever have done. And then on top of that, pretty much everybody either quit, had to get rid of because they were inconsistent, or were thieves. So a 20-pump massive store, twice as much as I've ever done, got down to about 4 employees. I have hired 6 people since I have taken over the store. 3 of them never showed. One of them made it a week. One of them made it, literally, when I say this, literally had made it 3 minutes. And I got one that's in their third week. So it's been a rough few weeks, and I've not had the opportunity to really do what I needed to do here at the 110 Nation. I've been stuck at work. The new employee that's in her third week is doing a phenomenal job. Just got word of one of the employees that was there when I first took over, that was a very knowledgeable employee. Got our babysitting and car situation taken care of, so she is back, and we're supposed to be getting an assistant manager transferred over and possibly another employee over. So life is about to calm down for Mr. CJ Sports, and we're going to get back into the swing of things here. Like I said, I'm going to get things taken care of at the website, so it's back and running and functional. We will be back live Tuesday nights right here, 8 o'clock, every Tuesday, and looking to expand into a second day. We want to kind of tackle the 1 day, 2 hour show for 2020 as we approach our 9 year mark. April 15th, we will be turning 9 years old. Good Lord, it's hard to believe we're turning 9, but turning 9 years old, and so that is the mission. That is the goal, to expand into doing 2 shows, 2 hours a week. Also, goal is to pick up a co-host, someone that will be there every episode with me, and help make this show run smoother, more informative, good times, not just listen to me talk the whole time. So that is something that we're hoping will happen in 2020. And Thursday nights, we will have the return of the Mac. Yes, the return of Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. So looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, I believe they come back this Thursday night, as they were, their debut is always the week following the 24-hour Rolex race in Daytona. I did manage to catch a little bit of that, not much to even brag about or talk about. But it was about 11:30, 12 o'clock Saturday night. We'll say it was Saturday night. Whatever the night that they started it. The night of the day they started it, I did turn it on and catch a little bit of that. So did at least open the curtain, look in. We got the Daytona 500 right around the corner, February 16th. So looking forward to that. We're working on clearing schedules and making sure that we are prepared for the Great All-American Race. So, God, Lord have mercy. And then, of course, this weekend, Super Bowl. So a lot of things as we're right around the corner from the All-Star, NBA All-Star game. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're right around the corner from preseason and training camp for baseball. And beginning of the NASCAR season, and not too far away from March Madness already too. So got a lot going on. Tonight's show. One, we do have his own office. I did things, but we do have his own. Join us at 9:30. And like I said, the websites. We're gonna work on figuring out what the deal is with that, and then once we get it up, I know we're gonna at least work on. I'm getting the site up and functional. I don't know how many articles and stuff to that side of it. As much as just from the gang. As we're working on focusing on getting the shows full swing and getting and putting all our effort into doing the shows and giving great quality shows, and then as we get in the swing of things, we will focus on trying to expand more on the site. But tonight's show, reason we started the show at 8:24 tonight is to pay our respects and kind of tribute to the late Kobe Bryant, as of course spent half his career in the number 8 and the other half of his career in the number 24. It's really amazing how really down the center his stats are when you compare his stats when he wore the number 8 versus when he wore the number 24. It's really a phenomenal thing. But we decided tonight, which start the show at 8:24 to kind of show the respect of the 8 and the 24. So that's kind of the reasoning behind the start time. For those that did not see the Facebook post, I know Ms. Brandy asked me what time the show was tonight, and I do want to shout out to her. She is very, very supportive of what we got going on here at the 110 Nation, and she makes sure that I am free to be here in the studio. She makes sure that nothing interferes with that. She listens into the show. I could not have asked for a better partner in life. A more supportive partner in life. She has been the most amazing thing to ever happen to me. And I'm glad that she is my other half, and I'm glad and thankful and blessed to have her support in doing this, and looking forward to down the road, one way or another, having her possibly involved with the process here, if it be help scheduling shows or helping preparing for shows or helping recruit for shows or whatever the case may be. I know that preparing down the road for us one day living together. I know that she is already prepared on where my studio will be and is already, you know, playing around that tonight. The TV was cleared out for me to be able to kind of do my research and work on preparing for tonight's show. And I've not had this type of support in my life ever. And I'm glad to have somebody that is very involved with making sure that this is a success, that I'm able to do this and enjoy sports just as much as I do. As you know, in a few, with the final game, the Cincinnati Cleveland, we went to that game where, oh, the best part, I haven't brought this up yet, and I kind of threw it out there in the group, you know, doing media wise and or having, you know, the opportunity to buy tickets for races. You know, I've been to Charlotte, God knows, probably, I don't know, 6 to 8 times. Doing media, been to Kentucky Speedway, I don't know, 4-ish, 5-ish times. Charlotte's probably the same amount through the process of buying tickets and being media to include the All-Star race. Thanks to media-wise, been in Bristol probably 3 or 4 times. Media, Martinsville once. Just buying tickets, been to Daytona 4 or 5 times, 2 of them being the 500. Media-wise, Homestead a couple times. Rockingham, buying tickets, been to Rockingham when they came back from trucks race. Still seems that I'm leaving out a track. I can't think off the top of my head. But this year, for the first time, a track that has been on my bucket list and a track that I have wanted to go as far back as I can remember, the weekend of 4th of July, July 5th, as a matter of fact, NASCAR will be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and therefore Mr. CJ Sports will be finding his way to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to finally be able to check off the Indianapolis Motor Speedway off my bucket list of things that I want to accomplish. And so thank you. Thank you, Ms. Brandy, for making this possible. But she asked what time the show was tonight, 8:24 to 10 o'clock. And she kind of replied like a kind of an odd time. And I went on to tell her the 8 and the 24 were, you know, the two numbers that Kobe wore. And I know she knows Kobe at least wore 24, but I don't know if she knew he wore the number 8 or not. Unless she really kept up with sports. And even some of the younger people didn't, even if they kept up with sports, didn't necessarily know, depending on if you were a diehard Kobe fan or not, that he did wear both his numbers. Sunday, Lord have mercy, Sunday. I'm sitting there across my timeline. I see, and I kind of hesitated because, you know, there's a lot of times that, unfortunately, you get these fake posts, fake news. That there's really no truth behind what is posted or what is said. And you got outlets like CNN that just really has hardly any truth behind anything they say. And recently there was a post that was shared that The Rock had passed away. And so, you know, you don't know how much weight to hold into things that you see in social media wise. And so, you know, I'm doing my research before I start spreading. You know, this is something that you just don't want to spread, especially being a media outlet and having, you know, it just kind of shoots your credibility all to hell and back. And after seeing multiple on top of multiple posts, you know, then I don't think at first I shared, but I started to spread the word. And I was sitting there watching news, and they still hadn't really said anything, or they hadn't said anything at all, not really. And so I was still kind of hesitant. And then as my social media, my Facebook more specifically, timeline was consumed and taken over by this tragic news of Kobe Bryant in a crash. That's when I posted it on the 110 Nation fan page and really kind of started spreading the news. And it was crazy because I posted it in our 110 Nation fan, our 110 Nation messenger thing. And Craig Moore was like, it's probably fake news. And I'm like, no. Like, my first thought was the same thing, and I understood where he was coming at because you see so much of it as like every news outlet, and these are reliable sources. This is not your Timbuktu.com sites, or this is not your, you know, I'm Backwoods sports writer sites. This is not CNN. This is like legit outlets. And so I was like, you know, this is being spread. And then I text my boy, and I mean we've been friends for 20 years now at this point, and I told him, I was like, Kobe Bryant is dead, and unfortunately at first, my best friend thought that I was referencing the fact that the night before LeBron James had passed him for third all-time on the NBA's all-time scoring, and kind of made a reference to LeBron passed Kobe last night for the scoring, taking third in the scoring, LOL. And I was like, no. Kobe has just died. He was in a helicopter crash. And then I get a text message basically letting me know that he realized what I was saying and started digging into it and realized what had really happened. Growing up, I was, for those that listen to the show, know me. And know that I'm not a fan outside of my teams. I'm not really, other than NASCAR, I don't really have a favorite anything but team. Excuse me, I'm strictly a Cleveland Browns fan, a Cleveland Indians fan, a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, an Ohio State Buckeye fan. I'm a fan of the team. Players come and go. I like players on my team, and while a player is on my team, I might like them better than anybody else in the league. Like being a Cavalier fan, you know, okay, I like LeBron James. He, you know, one of the greatest players. Still my opinion today, still one of the greatest players to ever play this game. I don't necessarily get into the whole debate of him being the greatest of all time. The rules have changed, and generations have changed, and the competition level has changed and everything else. So, you know, I don't like to get into the debate because there's so many things different. It's just like getting in the debate whether or not Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, okay, would Eli Manning be able to accomplish what he accomplished if he played back in the 70s or 80s or 90s, with the rules being what they were versus what the rules are now, where you could hardly touch a quarterback? you pretty much can't touch a receiver until he has caught the ball and has taken a few steps. Like, there's a lot of rule changes that are different. And then you also throw in the fact that wasn't Eli Manning that won those Super Bowls. That was a defense. You know, and a miracle catch by David Tyree in one of them. So there's a lot of factors to play it in. So, but I just don't like getting into that debate because just different rules, different generation, different competition levels. But I would put LeBron James easily top five, probably not even really a debate on whether or not he's even top three. I just don't like breaking it down to the top one. But back to my point, you know, I'm a Cavalier fan. Once LeBron left Cavaliers, I was no longer a LeBron fan. I stayed with my Cavaliers. And when he went to Miami, then he came back. Okay, you're part of the Cavaliers again. Okay, I can cheer for you. I like you again. But most and foremost, I'm a Cavalier fan. Now that you go play in L.A., I have respect for you. I still think you're very easily top three player of all time, but okay, you're not my favorite player, and therefore, I don't even really care how you do and what you do other than information and stats and stuff that I can talk about on the show, and that's, you know, kind of the extent of what I care about LeBron James. And so, therefore, players like Kobe Bryant, they fall into that category, okay? You're not a Cavalier, so I don't really have no use for you other than topics for my show over the last 9 years. Outside of that, I don't like you. I don't care for you. I don't nothing. And so I didn't follow Kobe's career as close as some people had followed Kobe's career. And then you throw in the fact that, you know, before I was a diehard Cavalier fan, I liked the Magic. I liked the Orlando Magic when they had Penny Hardaway and Shaq and Dennis Scott and Scott Skiles and Horace Grant, and the list goes on. And so then when it got broken up because Shaq and Penny and all them couldn't play together and money and everything else, I wanted to see at that point in time Orlando win a championship. I had probably like 15 Shaq rookie cards, and, you know, he goes to L.A. and I'm like, oh, forget L.A. Like, I'm not a L.A. kind of guy. I don't care about the Showtime Lakers and everything else. And so that was another reason why I would just, it was what it was. But over the years, I got an opportunity to watch, I would say, maybe top five, but at least top 10, maybe even more realistically, probably could even say top 7 player all time in the NBA. He doesn't make the list over LeBron. He doesn't make the list over Michael. And there's a few others that I just couldn't see myself putting Kobe over. And, you know, this whole conversation got brought up with youngins talking about championships and who was better, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. And then, you know, it all really depends on who you ask. I said, you know, you had Kobe that had a much better team. You know, first go around in Cleveland, LeBron had nobody. You Anderson Varejao was like one of the very few names that you could actually name off the teams that he was a part of. Like, he really had nobody, no names. And then you had Kobe that had all these names that he got to play with. And, you know, everybody likes to throw LeBron underneath the bus talking about he couldn't do it without help, and he had to go, you know, be a part of a team that went and got Chris Bosh. Okay, first of all, Chris Bosh was not one of the best players ever. I don't know if he would even be in the argument of top 50 players all time. Not long, you know, everybody's like, oh, he had to go be a part of a big three, and hey, he had to go recruit Dwayne Wade. Well, first of all, Dwayne Wade was already there. LeBron just take his services down to Miami. He didn't go recruit Dwayne Wade. And then you got Chris Bosh, which apparently makes top 50 lists all the time. But they disregard the fact that Chicago, with Michael Jordan, did the same thing. Scottie Pippen was drafted by the Bulls. Tony Kukoc was drafted by the Bulls. The Bulls now got players as well to complement and put together a great team. Jordan couldn't have done it by himself. Same thing with Kobe. You know, Shaq wasn't drafted by the LA Lakers. He was drafted by Orlando and then went to the Lakers. So that whole aspect of it to me is very humorous, because long as it fits the anti-LeBron narrative, people like to use that. But when you start throwing out, well, Chicago didn't draft this player, Chicago didn't draft that player, they went out and added that piece, they got that player, and the Lakers, and then, well, no, that's no, it's the same freaking thing. Everybody leaves alone the Boston Celtics, who that's what they were famous for. When you throw Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce together, Boston didn't draft those players. Kevin Garnett was drafted straight out of high school, Minnesota Timberwolves. Ray Allen was drafted what, by Milwaukee, if I'm not mistaken. It's amazing how that works and how well people wear blinders when their hatred is so much towards LeBron James. What's good for one is good for the other. What is not good for this one needs not be good for that one. You can't cherry pick how this. You just can't. But over the years, I got an opportunity to watch top 10 easily player of all time. And I think the biggest knock that anybody ever had about Kobe is don't expect to ever have the ball passed to you. Kobe's not giving up the rock. He will take every shot possible. But to where I had, and now even more so, have more respect for Kobe than I did in the beginning. And as a matter of fact, for these couple of facts alone, I have more respect and hold Kobe and higher on the pedestal than almost every single player that has ever played the game, or at least that has played the game since, I don't know, very easily, I don't know, the 90s, is the fact that one, Kobe gave it every single minute of every single game. There was no managing times. There was no resting out of games. There was no, okay, I'm not playing in the third quarter. Have the third or the fourth quarter. I'm not going to be what is his face? Why am I drawing Kawhi Leonard? Who's going to take 25% of the season off. There was no that with Kobe. Kobe gave you everything every single night. I can't even say that about LeBron James, who has been notorious, especially more so in Miami, for taking off nights. Load management, I think is what they call it. So I had to relay some messages here as scam artists in this area are crazy, and so I got to make sure that my staff knows to be looked out for. But anyway, there was no load management. There was no taking plays off. There was no taking nights off. There was no taking quarters off. Kobe gave you everything he had, every single minute of every single game. On top of that, and this has always bothered me, and I know that people want to be friends and this, that, and the other. There was no Kobe being friends with anybody outside of that Laker organization. Kobe looked at it as if you weren't on his team, you had the same goal as he. You were trying to get in his way of accomplishing his goals for that year, for his career, for his legacy. And today you have too many players that are friends with other friends, and you're Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. So it's so pleasantly so nice that they're such good friends, and they do all, no, like, why? I'm not a fan of that. I'm also the type that I'm not a fan of a basketball player, more so a football player. If a guy's on the ground, he's going to get up. If he's not on your team, you don't put a hand out and help him get out. I'm sorry, but you just don't. That's the opponent. You let him lay there, and either he uses his own effort and energy to get up off the ground, or his own teammate helps him up. And I would say even with an injury, but injury a little bit more. I'm going to be a little more sensitive with that. But you don't help another team player up. That's just, you're competing against him. Make him waste his own energy. You just go on your business. With Kobe, you got that. With Kobe, you were lucky, even if you're on the same team. That's if you're friends with Kobe Bryant. No alone, anybody else that was in the NBA that was on another team, it wasn't happening. Kobe was not friends with anybody outside of the organization completely at all. And I like that. I'm a very, very competitive person, and Miss Brandy can tell you this. Matter of fact, last Friday, we went to a place called Jumpy's in Troy, Ohio. The middle child, my little princess, turned 13 on Saturday. And so Friday night, we went to a place called Jumpy's. And they have laser tag and a bunch of the air things that you get to go in and jump on, and arcades and all this. And we got done doing the laser tag. That was the first time I've ever done laser tag. I'd love to go play laser tag again. I had a blast playing laser tag. Me and her oldest son, we played a lot of the dual games, cruising, the car game where you race against the computer and each other, where you sit side by side, and play Jurassic Park, where we both had guns, and we were sitting next to each other shooting the dinosaurs, and we played in one other game. I forget what the other one was. And that was it was an opportunity for us to play games together. Not so much the skee ball and stuff that we kind of threw the ball, but games that, we got an opportunity to just have quality time together. And we got done. We were informed that Miss Brandy and her sister were like all the top spots on the piano game. I don't know the name of it. And it's a game that you actually supposed to compete against each other while duel each other. At the same time, you had 8 keys. It was kind of like the whole Guitar Hero thing where you kind of got to hit the same keys that is popping up on the screen as it scrolls up. And so I was like, is that so? So I loaded more money on my card, and took a crack at it, and after a couple cracks, I was within striking distance, and her sister was like, oh, hell no, you're not getting the top spot. So while she was reloading, I campaign and ended up taking the top spot. And she had lowered it. Twenty more dollars. She got 300. At first, we dueled at the same time, but then it messed with our rhythm and hearing everything. So we gave each other the respect of I would go, then she would go, then I would go, and then she would go. And so I got to the point, I was like, oh, hell no, I'm going to reload my card. And we kept going back and forth on who had the top spot. Now, she did take the top spot. Her top score was 95, mine was 94. But competitiveness in the first degree right there is I'm a very competitive person. And so I loved and respected and admired Kobe's competitive side. I wasn't so big on the ball hawk side of it. I wasn't so big the fact, you know, of Kobe Bryant period because he was not a Cleveland Cavalier. But with that being said, I have respect for his competitiveness. And the latter part of Kobe's career, I learned to have more and more respect for him as he started that transition and he became more of a public figure. And well, he was already public. I mean, you know, he's won the Oscar for what the film that he did. He was more involved with his daughter and the school and the basketball team. He was more involved with the community. It wasn't just Kobe Bryant, the basketball player. It was more of Kobe Bryant, the citizen, the father, the family man, those kind of things that he became more and more of. That was more of what I got an opportunity to start seeing and really like and really appreciate it when it came to Kobe Bryant. But this whole topic got brought up the other day. As a matter of fact, Craig Bohr, co-host of Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris, talking about us mourning and the reaction people have when it comes to celebrities and, you know, why do we, should we? And, you know, I had an opportunity. I'm trying to think about it. And, you know, I end up replying. I'm not one that is big on mourning or being upset or I don't know, making a big deal about a celebrity's death. You know, there's many people that pass on a daily basis that served in the military. There's a lot of military that, you know, unfortunately, you know, have passed. We had four Bragg soldiers that was killed in Afghanistan. Something that, you know, had blew up and, you know, they unfortunately was involved with that. There's a lot of people that pass, and a lot of people that have an impactful your military, your police department, your fire department, your rescue, your neighbor, there's a lot of people that do a lot and contribute a lot and have a much bigger meaning or I mean, just in general, I mean, I don't care what you did. Joe Schmo next door passed away. Their life to me is just as important or at least just as valuable as Kobe Bryant's or, well, I'm not going to say Kobe Bryant's. And I'll explain why I retracted that. But celebrities in general, anyway, the difference between celebrities to me and someone like Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant wasn't just a celebrity. Kobe Bryant was a one was outside of his early in his age, you know, by rope. And, you know, he paid for his mistake and ended up having an involved and great marriage and great children together. Unfortunately, one of his daughters was a doctor and she was killed as well. But, you know, outside of it, everybody makes mistakes. I'm not going to judge somebody on, you know, a mistake that they made. You know, that's between him, his wife, the Lord. I mean, you know, so that's really none of my business anyway. But what he has done, what he's given back to the sport, how he's inspired children and kids to play the sport, play it at a competitive level, to not go at it half-assed. To give all every minute of every game, to give back and help make it possible in some instances where they can even play with what he has donated and contributed. And just being Kobe and people, especially young children, and inspire them to want to play. It inspired them and let them know that if Kobe can do it, I can do it. And so to me, there's a difference from someone like Paul Walker. I don't know why that was just the first celebrity. It was a very well-liked person, and you know, a lot of people kind of got upset when Paul Walker died. I wasn't one of them because other than some good, really good movies, I'm not saying he was a bad person or anything like that. I understand he did good things, but he was just a celebrity. And when you compare that to everything Kobe has given back, to me, it's a little bit different. I unfortunately also see the side of it that we don't make such a big deal, such as the two soldiers that just passed away. If I wouldn't have friends that also had served at Fort Bragg, or wouldn't have friends that were still in the Fayetteville area, no, I wouldn't have known about it, and it wouldn't have been on my timeline. But it does bother me that we do make such a big deal when it comes to celebrities, but those that serve and protect, or those that, you know, die or kill them, we're not making a big deal. And unfortunately, that's just the life we, you know, the world we live in. And Kobe Bryant's a household name. I've seen so many posts that if I wasn't even a basketball person, I didn't care for basketball, didn't like basketball, didn't watch basketball, whatever the case be, may have been, but it all went back to Kobe Bryant. I knew of Kobe Bryant. I have heard of Kobe Bryant. I've seen Kobe Bryant. I know people want to throw that argument out there. Why is it that we don't do this for, you know, so-and-so that died, or this person, officer, this person? Well, for that exact reason, that you're probably the only person that knew he died on my whole entire timeline. And as respectful and nice it would be to share, first of all, if you shared everybody that passed away every single day, you would probably spend a quarter of your day sharing them, but you would be sharing a bunch of names that nobody knew, and all you're doing at this point, just being an informative, you're not really contributing or anything else for that person, other than just informing the world or informing everybody on your friend list. So it's a little bit different. I do have two Kobe Bryant rookie cards. I was a big basketball, especially basketball, mainly basketball, car collector. And I know that the year that LeBron came out, the year that Shaq came out, I bought a lot of basketball cards. There was a lot of after school and afternoon and evenings that we spent cutting grass, and my cut of the cutting grass. If we were fortunate enough to be able to keep our shares, because there was a lot of nice times were tough back then. Hell, times were still tough, but times were tough back then to the point that there was a lot of nights that we cut grass. It was just to put food on the table, and that was the extent of it. But the nights that I did get to keep my cut of it, it went to buying basketball cards. I probably have 10, 15 Shaq rookies. I got Penny Hardaway rookies, Kobe Bryant rookies, Larry Johnson, all about that time frame. Isaiah Ryder. The list could go on and on. And I have a whole collection of cards that are actually back in North Carolina. Because one day I will be collecting them. They're at my son's house. But, I even have Kobe Bryant rookies. My best friend, he was a Allen Iverson fan, but he lost him with Carmelo. I think that he just did that to spy as me, being a Cavalier fan, a LeBron James fan. A lot of nights sitting here watching this man up and down the court, both ends, putting max effort. There was no taking nights off. There was no taking quarters off. There wasn't even taking any plays off when it came to Kobe Bryant. And unfortunately, someday, it's just hard to sit there and just grasp the idea that all those years, you've spent like 20 years in the NBA and working and traveling and everything else, and you finally getting an age and point in your life that you're going to retire and take life easy and not be on the road and be gone, and then Team USA and everything else, and be dad and have the family life and everything else. But, you're well past the financial point of having to worry about it and could have done it. But, you had the passion, the desire to continue playing the game that you loved, what made all this possible for you, the lifestyle-wise of it. And, even get an opportunity to enjoy it and be a part of all this, unfortunately. Seen a lot of messages, I much as I'll probably someday regret saying this. Ever since being with Miss Brandy, I've become a much more sensitive person. No tears were shed in the making or the process of the whole show and the hearing of the death and everything else. But it was sad to me. It was. I've gotten to a point in my life being with this Brandy that I have felt feelings and emotions and stuff that I have never quite felt in my life. And she has caused walls and barriers to come down that I didn't know was possible. And watching Doc Rivers and them give him give, you know, his interview, that was tough. It was tough to see and to hear. And darn you, Miss Brandy. Why you got me feeling things that I have never felt before? Good and bad. A lot of respect for San Antonio, and I wish that I could remember who they played off the top of my head. But they came to agreement, you know, Coach Popovich is the most fantastic all time. And I believe I'm the team that who wants to get off in respect of Kobe Bryant at 24, that they were going to take a 24-second violation to start off the game, and the opponents, they won the tip. Rip City, Trailblazers, that's what they were playing. And they took the 24-second violation. Then I turn around, and San Antonio, as well, went ahead and took the 24-second clock violation. So a lot of respect for those organizations, those coaches. I did see this thrown out there. I thought it was a good idea. I don't know if it reached the NBA level or not. Commissioner level or not, and this decision is going to be made or not. But you got Team LeBron and you got Team Giannis. It's been thrown out there. Have one team where everybody wear number 8, and the other team, everybody wears 24s. I like that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't, especially in an exhibition game, I don't think you can show respect at a higher level. I really like that. And I hope that it's something that gets taken all the way to the top and whoever makes this decision. And I would really love to see Team LeBron versus Team Giannis and they all being wearing 8 to 24s like that. I think that would be a really cool thing. I know also they're supposed to be, I think he still wasn't eligible. I think he still had another year or so before he was eligible for the Hall of Fame. I know that's going to be, he's getting the nod this year. And so he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame as well this year. Lord have mercy. I know that I saw this thing kind of around. They had a tribute to Kobe changing the game 21 to 24, basically. One shot, so either 2 points or 1 point, which might be going this way. But 24, 2s and 1s. They gotta do something. Bring something to some. And then shoot. And if they don't make it, they gotta go on. An 8-point mark, and then rebuild back up from there. So, I thought that was really cool, really interesting. I know the Clippers and the Lakers game got canceled. I was in agreement with some of those that were talking last night or yesterday on, I think it was yesterday, on First Things First. Didn't necessarily agree with the cancellation of the game. I was in complete agreement. This is one of the reasons why I watch the NBA or watch sports, period. This is my opportunity to escape from the real world and kind of let that be my distraction. And instead of doing that, at a time that really needs to happen, the NBA decided we're just going to take the night off. Not a big fan of that, but that is what that is. This is why I don't make the big bucks and don't make these kind of decisions. When it comes to LeBron James, and this is a topic of the day, and I didn't really think about it. It kind of changes. Really, you went from a team that was trying to win a championship. I think he was kind of favored. He didn't win. People understood it because he gathered some pieces. For the Lakers fan, busy about that, for the memory of okay, now the mentality, the expectations have kind of changed and shifted, and now I've put more pressure on the volunteer. But more specifically, LeBron James, especially after Saturday night, probably they are the most perfect tribute about Brian. He took over the third spot for it all time the night before the accident, pretty much doing exactly what was supposed to be done to T. Then turned around the next day and the passing now kind of shift in now. Lakers, you're no longer a win championship, right? If not, next year you're expected to this is supposed to help Lakers fans take their mind off what just happened. And then it's more now, it needs to happen versus amazing how that changes. We had Israel joining us here in the studio. I kind of got consumed with the return of the show, return of all the shows in the Western Nation, and then consumed into the Kobe thing. I didn't at least, there's one thing I do want to at least get into, it is the Super Bowl this weekend. I am picking the San Francisco 49ers. I have still yet to buy into the whole Pat Mahomes and that whole. I'm not buying still. I think we're gonna see a really good defense. I don't feel that Mahomes has seen a lot of those and not to that level. As a matter of fact, the 49ers have already beat him earlier this year. So I kind of expect the same thing. Me being me, I kind of want to see the 49ers defense really shut them down and really put him in his place and really show that he's overhyped and over overrated. I don't think he's as good as people want to go on and on and on about it. The same thing about Lamar Jackson. Even more so about Lamar, you can't be a running quarterback in the NFL. I don't care how much the rules have changed. Running quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. They don't last long. And they're limited. There's a reason why he has to run so much, because his arm is not that good. And we've yet to have a running quarterback win a Super Bowl. Michael Vick never won a Super Bowl. Cam Newton never won a Super Bowl. It just doesn't happen. You got to be able to stay in the pocket. You got to be able to be mobile and move around. And yet sometimes simply just easier to run out of bounds or run on the first down marker or even run, you know, whatever the case may be. But I'm a firm believer you live to see another down. There's a reason why Peyton Manning set the records and accomplished what he accomplished and was hardly ever hurt. The reason why Tom Brady, same thing. Same reason why Drew Brees has the records he has. And his phenomenal career he has had. And so you can see, and the same thing happens every year. I'm getting ready to get you here. Same thing happens with every running quarterback. Yeah, they come out, defenses are not used to you. And you have that first season, or at least most of the season, is a phenomenal season because defenses haven't adjusted, defenses haven't learned your style. There's not a lot on Lamar Jackson. He played in a crappy conference, and yet, you know, I mean, come on, he played in the ACC. Even Geno Smith looked good in his conference, Conference USA. Once you got to the NFL, I guarantee you, Lamar Jackson would have not had the career he had if he would have played in the Big Ten or if he would have played in the SEC, unless he went and played for Alabama in that horribly easy schedule that they maintained. And we're not going to get into Clemson, and their God, such a pansy schedule that's even ridiculously stupid easy this coming year. And once you get to the NFL, teams take a minute to adjust. Colin Kaepernick, another one. First season, I threw up a bunch of numbers. Accumulated a bunch of numbers, mainly running. And once the defense is adjusted, he's another one that fell to the wayside. And the same thing's going to happen to Lamar Jackson. And I'm not completely sold on the Patrick Mahomes thing. I think Jimmy G is the greatest quarterback. But that offense is balanced enough, and Jimmy knows how to do enough or what needs to be done to win games. And, three plays, is what separates the 49ers from the perfect season. Fourth down here, run out time there, and I think if it was a drop pass or something was the other one, that all three of the games they lost were that close, and they literally were just going to play from being undefeated at this point. I do have the 49ers winning the Super Bowl. I have the 49ers defense exposing Mahomes and how overrated he truly is. He's a good quarterback, but not to the extent that they try to hype it and people try to blow this up. I have been right about every quarterback that I've ever had these feelings about, and I plan on continuing to be perfect on that. The 49ers, thank you, Super Bowl. My best friend gets another ring for his 49ers. And Kansas City fans get a shut up for another year. But anyway, let's go ahead and get Izzo in the studio for those that are new to the show. Izzo is our NHL expert. Izzo knows more about the NHL past, present, and future. He knows more about the NHL than a pastor knows about his religion or God. That's all you really need to know. We love having Izzo on the show. Looking forward to another year with Izzo in the studio with me on Tuesday night. But without any further delay, Let's go ahead and get into the studio. Izzo, first of all, Happy New Year. I know this is maybe expect you to start, but I cannot go more. Work is just such a crazy thing. I know 1 week you had something come up, and work came up as well. So it's not like I've had you just sitting there waiting. I know you've had craziness going on, but we got a lot of things going on in 2020. We're looking to get back in the right direction, expand things, and do a lot of great things. Glad to have you a part of that. Looking forward to catching up on all that I've missed over the last month and a half, and looking forward to riding out the rest of the season with you here on the Once in a Nation Sports Show, the NHL. Glad to have you in the studio. How are you doing? And let's get into this.
Man, I'm doing great. Happy New Year to everybody, our new listeners and our old faithful listeners. I do appreciate it. You guys putting up with me for this short little hockey segment. It's been a good New Year so far. I mean, work is hectic right now for me too as well, but this is the best job I got, Jay, and there ain't nothing I'd rather do than talk hockey all day. So I do know my fair share. I wouldn't say I'm a guru just yet. I'm always trying to read books about the history, and I'm a student of the game still. So, and I'll continue to forever be a student of the game. So it's a pleasure, and it's just a joy to be able to talk hockey with you guys. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about right now. We're here to talk about hockey. We just got back from the All-Star break yesterday. We did have six games on yesterday. Just to recap real quick, the Capitals were over the Canadiens 4-2 yesterday in Montreal. The Devils skated past the Senators up in Ottawa 4-3. The Maple Leafs were down in Nashville, took care of the Predators 5-2. We had a game on NBCSN last night. For all those who aren't not local, I am in Houston, Texas, so this was on FSN Dallas for me. The Stars hosted the Lightning, came up with a big win against the Lightning 3-2 in Dallas. So that's been a good team to watch as of lately, especially in the Central Division right now, and we'll get into that as the season progresses. Also, the final two later games that we had last night, the St. Louis Blues, the defending Cup champions, were in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. The Canucks take that game 3-1 in that one, and then we had a battle of two of the California teams. The Anaheim Ducks were in San Jose taking on the Sharks, and the Sharks skated away with a 4-2 win in that one. Tonight we had two games on the docket tonight. One just ended. The Senators all over the Sabres in Buffalo 5-2. And right now we have a game on ESPN Plus for all of those ESPN Plus listeners. The St. Louis Blues are in Calgary taking on Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and the Flames tonight up in Calgary. There's about under 4 minutes to go in the first period. The Flames are up 2-1 in that one. So you guys got ESPN Plus and want to watch something besides basketball? I know the basketball world's been shook up a little bit, and if you'd like to, you know, just have a little escape, you know, jump on the ESPN Plus and check out the Blues and Flames doing some battle tonight. So that's what we got on the list tonight. And like I said, we came off of All-Star break weekend, which was pretty interesting. To say the least, when you look at it, I'm always a big fan of the skills competition. And the skills competition is something that really holds dear to my heart, especially one event in particular. So when I look at it, the hardest shot really takes my soul, Jay. I love it. There's nothing better than a guy bringing it, triple digits on the gun when it comes to, slap shots and playing hockey in general. So I was always a big fan. And with the All-Star game being in St. Louis, they brought out an old idol of mine, Mr. Al MacInnis, who was known to, at that time in that generation of hockey, in that period of time of hockey, was known to have the hardest shot in the league. So when they brought him out, he was in skates and had a stick in his hand, which was pretty interesting. And they invited him to take a slap shot. And my man is 54 years old and clocked the gun at 100.4 miles an hour. So that man has not lost it before. I think before he had the record at 104, 104.9. I think he had the record before Zdeno Chara a few seasons back hit it at 108.5, I think it was, if I remember correctly. I know it was 108 for certain, but it was really cool to kind of see it. And, you know, the it was just really, really interesting to see it when it came down to the hardest shot. You know, one guy that really kind of stood out in particular is Shea Weber, because Shea Weber's one of those guys that really knows how to bring it. You know, I've seen him hurt many a people with his slap shot, but you know, he ended up winning that that event. I think he clocked at over 105 miles an hour in that hardest shot competition. And another new event that they put in this year, Jay, which I was really excited about, was a 3-on-3 tournament between the Canadian women and the United States women All-Stars. Which was pretty cool. They played a 20-minute period. They ended up switching ends at the 10-minute mark to kind of, you know, switch it up a little bit, get the long change in there that you're used to seeing when the second period hits for home teams and away teams. You know, it was pretty cool to watch. Canada ended up pulling out 2-1 on that, but not before Amanda Kessel, sister of Arizona Coyote winger Phil Kessel. She put on a one-timer shot that Canadian's goaltender gloved right as the buzzer sounded for the end of the end of the game. So it was pretty interesting to see that kind of take place. They've never done anything like that, and that's just from last year. Kendall Coyne participating in the fastest skater, the fastest skater event of the skills competition. So, you know, that was pretty cool. I'm glad that they're really starting to get the women involved involved with the All-Star game. You know, I think it's really cool you know, include the women, because they play a really good brand of hockey. We've all seen it you know, in the Olympics and everything. So you know, it was really cool, you know, that they, you know, they're starting to incorporate the women, and it's you know, it's something really, really, really long overdue, essentially. So, but kind of moving on, you know, Kendall Coyne was not in the fastest skater. We had quite a selection of guys who are pretty fast guys. Quinn Hughes of the Vancouver Canucks, he clocked in at just over 14 seconds. Travis Konechny of the Philadelphia Flyers at just over 14 seconds. Anthony Duclair of the Ottawa Senators also clocked in at just over 14 seconds too as well. And it was Matthew Barzell of our beloved Mike's New York Islanders that ended up taking that event at 13.175 seconds to go from center line to center line going skating around the rink. So there were a couple other guys that hit under the 14 mark. Chris Kreider of the New York Rangers with 13.509 seconds. Connor McDavid of the Oilers, young kid, really knows how to skate really fast. It's what makes him so dangerous with the set of hands that he has, at 13.215 seconds. And Jack Eichel of the Buffalo Sabres, 13.540. Nathan McKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche, 13.895. But it's Matthew Barzell from the New York Islanders that took that. And then the save streak, which is a couple of goalies from all the goalies from each division take part and see how long of a save streak they can get. The save streak winner this year was Jordan Binnington of the defending Cup St. Louis Blues, who had a save streak of 10. The next two were David Riddick, with 4, and Tristan Jarry of the Pittsburgh Penguins was 4. So it was pretty cool. I know the St. Louis fans were pretty excited to see their goaltender take part in that event. So just some of the All-Star women, just to kind of recap, Casey Bellamy, Alex Carpenter, Kendall Coyne Schofield, Brianna Decker, Amanda Kessel, Hillary Knight, Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson, Annie Pankowski, Alex Rigsby, Calvellini, and Lee Steckline. represented the United States. Megan Augusta, Melanie Doust, and Renee DBN, Renata Fast, Laura Fontino, Rebecca Johnson, Sarah Nurse, Marie Philip Pouillon, Natalie Spooner, and Blairy Turnbull represented Team Canada. And that's those were the women that participated in the skills competition. But kind of going along, the All-Star Game was kind of a disappointment to me, Jay, this year. It really was. You know, I was expecting a lot more goals. You know, I don't know if this three-on-three, I don't know if this three-on-three is going to be suffice for the next few years. I really don't like how they're doing it. And I think a lot of the hoorah coming from the media is that these guys aren't participating in the Olympics right now, which is kind of really staling the game out, in my opinion. I do believe that the media is right, since these guys aren't playing an all-star or an Olympics or a World Cup, that you should at least give the fans, you know, the benefit of a good show, you know, just for the fans and everything. But we had the Pacific Division take the Atlantic Division Pastrnak of the Atlantic Division took the MVP, for the All-Star Game. Pastrnak, who's been on a tear this year. He had 6 points, 4 goals and 2 assists in 2 games on the 3-on-3 tournament, and was selected by fans through social media to be the MVP, which was pretty cool. But Pastrnak and the Bruins were well represented. Well, I wouldn't say well represented. They weren't really welcomed in St. Louis. So, because that was the cup final matchup with the Blues and the Bruins. And we all remember how that kind of played out. A little history repeating itself last Stanley Cup season. But, All-Star Weekend was pretty – the game was subpar, but the skills competition always really does it for me. That's what we had going on. And right now, you know, we're just over the halfway mark of the season. And if we kind of take a look real quick, the Atlantic Division, Boston, Tampa Bay, and Florida take the 3 top spots, respectively, in that division. And in the Metro right now, you have Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Islanders, 1, 2, and 3, respectively. And right now, Columbus and Carolina are holding the wild card spots right now. That wild card spot is pretty. That race right now is pretty tight. The Islanders at number 3 with 63 points on the season are 1 point ahead of the Jackets, 2 points ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes. And then at 60, it's Philly. Toronto's at 59. And those are pretty much the 5 teams right now that are battling for the wild card spots. And moving over to the West in that tough Central Division, you have St. Louis atop. Then you have Colorado and Dallas at the 2 and 3 spots in the Pacific. You have Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary, all 3 Canadian teams leading the pack in that Pacific Division right now. Arizona and Vegas are battling for the wild card spots right now. But right now, Jay, it's kind of a toss-up. You have 4 teams right now that are tied in the standings with 57 points. So I can imagine that wild card spot's going to be jumping around for the next couple weeks until some team manages to separate themselves. And then from there, you know, outside the picture, Winnipeg and Chicago are sitting at 54 points, and they're trying to battle their way back into the Central Division right now, because there's a huge gap in that Central Division between Dallas and Chicago right now. So it's always going to be tough this time of year. You got the trade deadline coming up, and I'm already hearing some pretty big rumors coming out between San Jose and Boston. Right now, it seems that something might be in the works for Joe Thornton, Jumbo Joe, who was drafted by the Boston Bruins to make a return to Beantown with his former team. So Joe Thornton, as we all, hopefully as all hockey fans remember, he was traded from Boston to San Jose quite a long time ago, over 10 years ago. Jeez, it's been forever since Jumbo Joe has been in Boston. So, you know, I think it would be pretty interesting. It would really solidify that Boston team right now. They are, one of the top teams in the league right now. with Washington, I think, is the first in first overall with 73, and then it's Boston at 70 sitting in the standings. So Boston's been a very tough team at home, Jay, right now this season. They're 17-2-9 at home right now. So they're playing, you know, really good hockey at home. 12-8 on the road, 12-8-3 on the road. So the shootouts, they're not really doing too good in. So, you know, they've at least registered a point in 12 games, which helps, you know, and 17 wins on top of that, you know, that's going to go a long way for you. And that Pasternak line, it's just on fire right now. You know, I do believe he's leading the league in goals right now with 37. Austin Matthews is at 35 and Alex Ovechkin at 34. So he's really doing a lot of things, especially on that power play too for the Bruins. He's got 16 power play goals, Jay, and he's leading the league right now. The next nearest person is James Neal from Edmonton with 12. So, you know, he's really setting himself apart with that, you know, with that power play that he has up in there. So it's just been a, you know, it's just been something, you know, something to keep an eye on. You know, I expect a few teams here to start making some moves here before the February deadline. It's kind of normal. It's kind of becoming the normal to see guys or general managers make moves right now before the trade deadline gets up upon them in time and everything. So, you know, you kind of, if you're going to bring somebody in, you kind of want to give them some time to get acclimated and get some chemistry with their line and whoever they're going to be playing. You know, you just can't come in and, you know, expect to, gel right away. That rarely ever happens in hockey. It's, you know, it's so difficult, you know, putting a team, you know, putting a line together, let alone a roster. So, you know, bringing in one guy can change the whole outlook of your team and the whole outlook of your roster. So I'm pretty much glued to the NHL app at all times during this time of the year. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's going to be one crazy trade deadline coming up. I mean, with the standings and what they look like right now, I do believe the Islanders are going to be looking to buy. And Jay, your Columbus Blue Jackets right now, the way they're playing with the roster that they have right now is just amazing right now. They're 8-2 their last 10 games right now. They're on a 6-game winning streak. Their next game's against Buffalo, so who's been struggling as of late. So Tortorella right now has really got the Columbus Blue Jackets doing some big things. And I think with the amount of money that they have right now, they're going to be making some offensive moves here come the trade deadline. So I do believe that Columbus is going to be on the up and up, and they should be in the mix for that 3 spot or that first wild card spot. I do know that the Carolina Hurricanes are probably going to be another team to look to add to their roster too. They did just get Justin Williams back, who sat out the first half of the season. He said he was contemplating on the season. I think he was just kind of giving his body a rest. He has been in the league for, 19, 20 years now or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's been around, you know, for quite some time, has some cup success, won a cup in Carolina, and, you know, did pretty well with them last year. It made a pretty deep playoff run. So Columbus and Carolina are two teams that I'm paying attention to right now in the East. And then over in the West, I get a bird's eye view of Dallas, and I've been watching them, you know, lately with the additions of Corey Perry his name escapes me right now. I can picture his face, and it's going to bother me, but it'll come to me later. It came from the San Jose Sharks. I do know that. Joe Pavelski, that's what it was. Joe Pavelski, you know, getting that power play kind of going and clicking for Dallas. They were kind of struggling at the beginning of the season, and I think that was just due to a lot of different line changes and a different coach, you know, a coaching style that was kind of affecting them. But, you know, they're sitting at that 3 spot right now. I think they might be interested in adding to some of that defense to help Ben Bishop out right now. But, you know, they went through a pretty healthy chunk of their schedule, you know, towards the latter end of the year. So, Also watching Vancouver. Vancouver a year ago was absolutely poo, Jay. Absolutely poo. So for them to be in the Pacific Division and leading it right now, I'm just amazed. Elias Pettersson, young hot stud, is just coming off, you know, an excellent rookie campaign. They have some good young talent up there. The goaltending, I think, is going to be the biggest question probably after this season. They have three capable goalies right now in their roster that can do the job. But, you know, it's a question with Markstrom right now, who's been there the longest and who is getting up there in age. The other two guys are kind of young right now, so they got some learning to do. And then Edmonton, who's holding the number two spot, is another team I'm watching right now. I've heard some rumors about the Edmonton Oilers trying to acquire Ducks captain Ryan Getzlaff. I've heard some rumors about that trade might possibly trying to go through if the price is right. So that's another team I'm going to be watching too as well. And obviously I'm going to be watching Vegas again and seeing how they approach the end of the year. You know, they have made the playoffs of their first two seasons, the cup final in their first season. So it's going to be interesting to see what those guys do out in the desert, to see what they can add to their roster. They have a pretty solid one right now with William Karlsson and Max Pacioretty, and you still have Marc-Andre Engel, who was named all-decade goalie, or goalie of the all-decade team. That the NHL has been doing. So those are the teams I've been watching. That's what I've been kind of surprised with. What I've been paying attention to. Things I've been really kind of surprised of. The Montreal Canadiens, year in and year out, I do believe that this is going to be the last year for general manager Marc Bergevin. They just underperforming. They're, you know, sitting in the sixth spot in the East. Number six in the wild card spot, right now at 51 points on the year. It's just not looking too good for them. A lot of injuries going on up there, some inconsistent play. So I do believe this might be the last year of Marc Bergevin. I think the fans are about ready for it too. They've been calling it for quite some time. I would call Marc Bergevin maybe possibly the Jerry Jones, the GM Jerry Jones of the NHL. So, he's not really wanted in that position anymore. Kind of looking at some other things, Nashville with the moves that they made this year, acquiring some of the guys, Matt Duchene, for instance, from the Columbus Blue Jackets in the free agent market. Getting rid of PK Subban, I think, was a big mistake. I think their defense is hurting a lot right now. San Jose is another team I'm kind of disappointed in right now too. Actually, all three of it's kind of funny. All three of the California teams are at the bottom of the barrel right now. So I can see the Ducks and the Sharks and the Kings dismantling some of their parts of their roster in this in this upcoming trade deadline. So those are three teams that I'm going to be watching too as well when it comes to the trade deadline, Jay.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. One, don't get my hopes up. It seems like every year I start getting my hopes up. Last year, I remember that was what I was first getting back with Miss Brandy and making my trips to Ohio. I remember the first weekend I went home, I was up in Air Balloon was the name, or Hot Air. I don't know the name of the bar, watching the Columbus Blue Jackets in the playoffs, and we were messing back and forth. So don't get my hopes up. Columbus Blue Jacket thing. One more thing before we get you out of the studio. Two more things. Next week, make sure you send me. I know this week was kind of uncertain up until the last minute, so make sure throughout this week you send me over everything so I can be prepared and be a little more involved. But real quick, both sides of the ball here, both sides of the puck, let's go with that. A team that has really surprised you, is doing maybe better than you thought, or is even looking to be either in the playoffs or even a favorite to win it all that you weren't expecting to begin the year, since we're at the halfway mark. And then on the other side of the puck, a team that you thought was a shoe-in or was going to be doing better by this point of the year that has kind of been disappointing so far for the first half.
Well, I'd have to say the team that's really kind of, come out of nowhere, and that's just due to personnel changes, has to be the Florida Panthers. If you look, they signed Joe Quenneville as their coach, who was named Coach of the Decade for what he did up in Chicago. You got a young, talented team. You bring in Sergei Bobrovsky. You add a couple pieces here and there. You change the whole outlook of that team. You have a lot of young players, on that roster that's sort of similar to what he got in Chicago when Taves and Kane came up through the ranks through the draft system. So, Florida has been that surprise team for me, so far. And then when you look at the bad side, I'd have to say the New Jersey Devils. You had acquired Taylor Hall prior season or season before that. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then you acquired P.K. Subban in a trade. You draft Jack Hughes. You got a lot of young guys that you're bringing up into the farm system. You're expected to at least be in that wild card hunt, especially with the addition of Jack Hughes from that prior season. So, first round pick. I think top two pick, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. And, you add some certain pieces, and then, it just kind of falls through your hands. And then if you look, Taylor Hall gets traded to Phoenix. So that was a big shocker right there, because I do know at that point in time before that trade happened, his agent was in negotiation talks with the Devils. So, and then not too long after that, John Hines, the coach, gets fired. And then he ends up getting hired in Nashville to replace Peter Laviolette. General manager Ray Shiro is out as Devils general manager right now. So, it just kind of backfired on the Rangers this year. So, now they're just kind of playing for pride, essentially. They're sitting at 43 points. They're second to last in the standings. If I remember correctly, Jay, and I think Detroit's the worst with only 28 points on the season. So, there is some concern there, and it just hasn't gone New Jersey's way this year.
Looking forward to sitting back down here in the studio next Tuesday night, same time. Like I said, throughout this week, hit me up with what we're going to be talking about next week, and that way I can definitely be involved like once upon a time. But thank you for joining me tonight. Thanks for being back, and looking forward to another great year of NHL talk.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. And for those hockey fans, tomorrow night, Wednesday night hockey, we got the Predators and the Capitals on NBCSN at 7:30 Eastern. And then immediately following that game, we got the Tampa Bay Lightning in LA taking on the Kings. Both those games are going to be on NBCSN tomorrow night. So if you need something to watch, grab a cold beverage, watch those. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glad to have him back. Glad to be back Thursday night. Grace Chat Live with Craig and Chris. Chris and Craig, how are you going to say it? Looking forward to being in the studio, hanging out with those guys as I produce that show. And I'll be hanging out in the studio and being part of the show. I am fully committed to being part of that and being there for those guys and being part of the conversation. So looking forward to that. We are fully committed to getting the Facebook page and our social media outlets more active. And so look forward to seeing a lot more going on the 110 Nation fan page. Like I said, we'll figure out here in the next day or two what is wrong with the site, as I've been looking at it. Get it current, and we're going to have some stuff going on there, so make sure you guys check that out. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. You can like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Here in the next week, you guys can check us out at www.110nationsports.com. Got to thank Carolina Sports Plus and Fit for Life. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure I thank them. welcome everybody back, our listeners, Ms. Lee, Chris, Craig, Izzo. Looking forward to another great year. Looking forward to turning 9 this year and April 15th. So looking forward to getting great guests, and we're looking forward to getting back to being what we were and how we used to do things. For tonight, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig, 8 o'clock. Don't miss it. Izzo and myself will be back here at 8 o'clock next Tuesday night for the 110 Nation Sports Show. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.